Welcome back to Coast with our special guest this hour, Jeffrey Smith, as we talk about genetic roulette, seeds of deception, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Jeffrey Smith, of course, and your phone calls as we will talk about GMOs and herbicides and what else is out there, Jeffrey?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm really, you know, I've been doing the same thing for 22 years, talking about the dangers, but I'm now realizing from these experts that I'm interviewing that I have been missing something. For example, when Alzheimer's patients, there's mycelium fungus that grows into the brain to help the brain. When, as we talked about breast cancer, there's a shift when someone has breast cancer, there's a new microbiome that comes in to help protect. So we have a situation where we're dumping antibiotics throughout our entire ecosystem. The Roundup, it's found in the air, it's found in the water, it's found in food, it's sprayed on wheat, barley, oats, dog food. In fact, we commissioned some tests. Next week we're going to be releasing a 10-minute film all about pets. We interview 8 veterinarians and several pet owners who've switched their dogs to non-GMO and organic pet food, and the results are amazing. Now, dogs have the highest cancer rate of any mammal, more than 1 in 2. And if we did a test of, we heard a test of 15 different dogs, checked their levels of glyphosate, the Roundup, in their urine, and it was on average 50 times higher than the average human level. Now, that means they're getting a lot of it through the pet food and probably also absorbing it through their paws and their skin because Roundup is sprayed so much outdoors. So we are destroying the lives of pets. We're shortening their lifespan. I was at a clinic by Barbara Royal, she's Oprah's veterinarian, and I went to her clinic and interviewed her. The first thing she does now when someone comes is she puts the cat or dog on a new diet, says come back in a few weeks or a certain number of days, depending on the severity, and 50 to 70% of the pets get better just by the food without any other intervention. Mm.
So what do you think would happen to us? Same thing.
Well, that's what we're finding out. I've asked 150 audiences at lectures, what did you notice when you got better when you switched to non-GMO? In fact, Amy Hart and I are releasing a film. We just did some premieres around the country. It's going to be available in September or October. I'll come on and talk about it at that point. But it's about families that heal from serious conditions when they go organic. We had a family with 21 chronic conditions, including an autistic boy, between the 5 members of the family. They went organic, all the problems disappeared. Another family, an hour down the road, they also had an autistic boy. They switched to organic. He's no longer autistic. There was a chiropractic clinic where they had 92 out of 92 infertile couples have children. They put them all on an organic diet. So if you go to secretingredientsmovie.com, you can see the trailer. You can sign up so you'll be notified when it's available. But every single place that we have showed it, people, first of all, 100% of the audience decides that they want to go as organic as possible. But then we are flooded with testimonials of people whose entire lives changed, their anxiety, their depression, etc. And when you look at the diseases that are correlated with the use of GMOs and Roundup and the conditions, it includes schizophrenia, it includes insomnia, it includes suicide by overdose, it includes so many things because the neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, they can all be messed up by GMOs and Roundup and also the BT toxin, which is the insecticide produced inside the corn that we eat. So if people really knew what they were exposed to, they'd be running to eat organic. And so we have a lot of information about people who've switched to non-GMO. In fact, I wrote a whole peer-reviewed article about it. It was published last year. The Coast to Coast listeners can go to non-GMOsimprovehealth.com. At non-GMOsimprovehealth.com, you can also sign up and get a free PDF of my second book, which is called Genetic Roulette, The Documented Health Risks of Genetically Engineered Foods. But more importantly, you can read a summary that's written for the layperson of what's actually happening to people when they switch to organic food.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's go to Monique in Sunland, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Monique.
Hi. Actually, I'm driving on the 101 right now.
All right. You be careful.
I am. Hands-free. All right. So my question is about Proposition 65. I have this product that I've been utilizing for 3 years, maybe. It's raw vegan. It's organic. But it does have the warning crop 65 label on it. And it says that it's because there might be minuscule amounts from the soil, and that's why it's on there. I mean, I guess it's on a lot of products for California. Nonetheless, it still does concern me. Should I be concerned? And also, just to let you know, when I went through the airport with this product, it sounded off their alarm. I'm thinking it's because it's in a powder form, maybe. But then someone said, oh, maybe it's because there's preservatives in it. As far as I know, there's no preservatives in it, but it is a powder. But like I said, it's raw vegan and it's organic.
Well, thank you. It's interesting that there are some things that come from the soil that can contaminate food, whether it's organic or not. I'm not an expert at Prop 65. I've had to put some attention on it because Roundup was just named a cancer causing agent last July, July 17th.
By whom?
By the Prop 65 mandated group in California.
All right.
And in fact, I attended the hearing in January where Monsanto was trying to sue California to say it shouldn't be a carcinogen, and the judge did not hear of it. The judge ruled in our favor, and they're going to declare it as a carcinogen. And right outside the courtroom after the proceedings were over, I attended a press conference with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and other lawyers and their plaintiffs who had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, or they were the survivors of family members that did, because they were suing Monsanto because not only was it a carcinogen, but it had laid a long track of people with serious cancers. And new research shows that there's even more research, perhaps, for acute myeloid leukemia. And if you look at the leukemia deaths, they rise absolutely in parallel with the increased use of Roundup sprayed on genetically engineered soy and corn.
You know, it's amazing, Jeffrey, just how many different facets of these tentacles that they reach, these GMO foods and the pesticides. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
I know, and it affects so many things. For example, as I mentioned earlier, Bayer has these neonicotinoid insecticides that are treated on the seeds, and they act like time-release insecticides. However, they kill bees. They can disorient bees. They're responsible for millions and millions of bee deaths. But it turns out that glyphosate and Roundup are also responsible. If you look at some of the research, it causes disorientation and bee deaths in very simple experiments. And so the two together are destroying that. Now here's another one, gluten sensitivity. Years ago, we never heard of gluten sensitivity. I think I was the first person to raise the fact that GMOs might be, and Roundup might be, promoting gluten sensitivity. In my interview with Zach Bush, which is available at our healingfromgmos.com series in July, he actually says, he tells us that he's about to publish a paper which actually shows the mechanisms. That gluten sensitivity is because of the wheat product binds with a receptor cell, which is usually not in high frequency along the gut wall. But when you introduce Roundup into the gut, all of a sudden these receptor cells appear, and now you end up having a condition, a precondition, that can allow gluten sensitivity and celiac disease, which has skyrocketed since Roundup has been used on our food supply.
Next up, let's go to Tom in the Bronx. Take it away, Thomas.
I'd like to say that I wonder if there's some kind of a wacky idea or experiment to have everybody become genetically engineered. Maybe that's the only way out of this pickle.
Maybe that's the goal. That's what they want to do. What are the possibilities, Jeffrey, of all of us being like from the island of Dr. Moreau? We're going to be genetically altered. our genes will be spliced. What do you think about that?
In the New York Times article, which we talked about a moment ago, they did talk about this gene editing has the promise of potentially genetically engineering humans. There's now do-it-yourself CRISPR-Cas gene editing kits that people can get, and there's this guy that actually injected himself publicly trying to get more muscles. Now, of course, it doesn't work that way, and the scientists that I've talked to said it's very dangerous, and now he realizes there's all these copycats creating things in their own laboratory, sometimes in their own, you know, garage or basement, and then injecting themselves trying to change gene expression, and he said someone's going to get hurt because it's such a the most common a result of genetic engineering is surprise side effects. In fact, this whole New York Times article this week talks about these two research studies that showed the potential for creating cancer. So when you genetically engineer, even when you do gene therapy, they found when they inserted a gene into human cell to help people who had very serious disease, it actually turned on an oncogene, giving them leukemia. And so they immediately shut down the gene therapy, and they studied it more carefully, et cetera. I talked to someone who is an expert at human gene therapy, and he said, for agricultural genetic engineering, they don't even look. There's no safeguards. They could be turning on oncogenes. They could be creating carcinogens, all sorts of things. He and his team looked at just the components of Monsanto's Roundup Ready corn and found higher levels of putrescine and cadaverine. Just like they sound, they create the foul odor of rotting dead bodies, and they're in higher levels in Monsanto's corn. They're also linked to allergies and cancer. Now, it's easy to do that test. It should have been done by Monsanto. It should have been required by the FDA. But long after we've been eating this higher levels of putrescine and cadaverine, it's discovered by independent scientists, but it's too late since it's already out there and people are getting it in their diets.
I got to tell you, even though I thought it was tough to get a spokesperson from Monsanto to react to things you talk about, of course, they've always said no. Now with Bayer owning, we'll never get any sponsorship people talking
it was
about
interesting.
This.
I was surprised. I was called by the Doctors TV show in 2015 after the World Health Organization declared glyphosate a carcinogen. And they had Donna Farmer, the senior toxicologist of Monsanto, who was going to talk about why it wasn't a carcinogen and why she was so confident. So they brought me in by Skype. We had a debate. She said that she was very confident, both as a scientist and a mother, that it was safe. Then when the documents, the Monsanto documents, were made public because of the lawsuit, I looked for all the quotes and all the memos where Donna Farmer either wrote it or was implicated, and it turns out she was lying through her teeth. She had ghost-written stories. She had told someone else who was working for the company that we can't say that Roundup is not a carcinogen. She mentioned that there was she was part of an email stream where they indicated that the tumor from a particular study could have been because of the Roundup formulation. She edited out the links between miscarriage and Roundup in another study. And so I contacted the doctors, and I said, 2 years ago, this is what she said, and now we find this is what she's saying privately for years. And so they invited Monsanto on, they invited me on, they brought in one of the lawyers and one of the plaintiffs, and they originally said they were going to give us 4 minutes. Well, they gave us an entire show. They found there was so much smoking gun evidence of cover-up. We did an entire hour-long show to our national audience exposing the cover-up about the fact that glyphosate is causing cancer.
First-time caller Rose in New Jersey is with us. Hi, Rose. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm so grateful for your show.
Thank you.
I'm a big follower of Percy Smelzer from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to make a couple of very quick comments. I live here in Western New Jersey. My brother was involved in the Organic Farmers Association. We've been following the fallout of the bees. And it just strikes me as so disgusting that we do not have the opportunity to know who has invested so heavily or protected Monsanto and Bayer. Rose Law Firm, Mrs. Clinton, did a bang-up job on that, especially when the soybeans down in Uruguay and Paraguay was, you know, killing off a lot of people. The Japanese were saying no. And who ran down there first was Bill Clinton. Also, George Bush, back in, I guess it was 89 or 90, tied up 287 here at the Monsanto Somerset offices when he was so thrilled about how the genetic splicing of genes with gold and this and that. We've been Nazified. There's no other prettier word for this. I happen to have known a bear. The bear, B-A-Y-E-R, was the anglicization of B-A-H-R. They are people from Bavaria. I was very friendly with the young lady who lived in New Hope in the 60s and graduated summa cum laude from Bennington College, came down to Columbia University, came to visit her mother in Frenchtown, New Jersey, was sick with cancer, and she committed suicide as well. The trail of mental sickness on the part of these people, like the Monsanto people, the Bayer people, these are old Nazis, old freaks who are out to do David Rockefeller's agenda. Let's get real, America. Let's start going to the streets, not to make a big fuss. Let's stand out there silently and say, we're not eating your garbage anymore.
Not going to take it anymore. That's the name of it. Jeffrey, she had mentioned the farmer, Percy Schmeiser from Canada.
Yes, Percy's a friend of mine, and turns out he was planting non-GMO canola and had been creating very special blends of his canola that were resisting diseases, and his neighbors were planting GMO canola.
And it blew into his field, didn't it?
It blew into his field, and he was contaminated, and he was sued by Monsanto because when he harvested his canola, he did what he does every year. He replanted it. But you can't replant Monsanto's genetically engineered crops, because when you buy them, you sign a contract that you will not replant. You'll have to go back to Monsanto and buy new stuff. So he never bought Monsanto's seeds. He just replanted his own seeds and got sued. And it went up to the Canadian Supreme Court, and they upheld Monsanto, saying it doesn't matter whether you intentionally bought seeds. If Monsanto's intellectual property blows onto your property
from somebody else,
then you have to give Monsanto all of your seeds. And fortunately, by that time, all the seeds were gone. Now, in one of my interviews with Percy, he said there was a guy, another farmer, who testified that he had purchased GMO seeds from him, that Percy had purchased GMO seeds. And the guy came up to him at a event where his granddaughter was skating and said, I want to talk to you. So this guy, you know, he lied. On the stand.
Oh.
So Percy went over to his farm to talk to him, and he was kind of angry at him. And he said, see that Roundup over there? That was given to me. $20,000 worth of Roundup of chemicals. I was given that for lying on your behalf.
Wow.
And he had liver cancer. He didn't have long to live. He died a few months later. But he admitted to Percy that he had been bribed. Percy also found out that other farmers were brought to hockey games with tickets and et cetera, et cetera. But I talked to another guy, a seed cleaner from the U.S., and he was treated, there was a book about it. They would buzz him with unmarked aircraft. People would follow around him all the time.
Oh, they harassed the heck out of him. Jeffrey, we're going to come back and take some final calls in a moment. And welcome back. Jeffrey Smith with us. His websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. But, Jeff, tell us again before we go back to final calls about healingfromgmos.com.
Yes, at healingfromgmos.com, you can sign up to listen to free expert interviews that will start on July 17th. I interview Joe Mercola, Josh Axe, Lee Cowden, lots of people who are really at the cutting edge of thinking. And I tell you, it completely enlightened me. I'll give you one example. This was from the Dietrich Klinghardt interview again. He said that our DNA has ancient viruses in it, and the microbiome keeps those viruses that have been around for 200,000 years silent. But when you kill the microbiome, then these viruses can wake up and start to express, and they are associated with type 2 diabetes. They're associated with Alzheimer's. They're associated with autism. And so that's one of the ways in which killing the microbiome is causing these problems. So I've asked these, you know, for 22 years, people have said, what more can I do besides eliminating GMOs and Roundup to heal myself? And I've always said the same thing. It's above my pay grade. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I interpret, I translate the science for people to understand, but this is beyond my pay grade. But I've brought the people in who are the experts. And so some will talk about the detox protocol. You take chlorella, you do a sauna, you do this particular thing. Others will talk about which food is good. Others will talk about particular minerals. In fact, I have Dr. Seralini, who's the leading researcher on Roundup and GMOs in the world. He studied a particular set of three different herbs and applied it to human cells and found that it actually detoxed the cell. But if you add too many herbs, it doesn't work. So he verified indigenous knowledge about adding fresh herbs to a warm plate before you eat it as a way to detox. So we have all these different angles of what to do to reverse the damage and protect us from the damage of caused by GMOs and Roundup. But because it's so profound, creating intercellular communication, creating basic fundamental improvements in digestion and microbiome and mitochondria, it turns out it really becomes the fundamental for healing and health irrespective of GMOs and Roundup. So I'm really excited about this series. And again, you can go to healingfromgmos.com, sign up, it's free, and then you'll get a notification of each of these lectures starting on the 17th of July and going for about 9 days. And so I'm blown away by these leaders because, you know, as I said, I've been doing this for 22 years and I haven't ventured into this new area. No one has.
This is new territory.
Yeah, right.
Good for you. Now, before we take calls and wrap things up here, I have to ask you about what you mentioned, and we've talked about it before, these genetically engineered mosquitoes.
I know.
Dangerous as all get up, isn't it?
God, I tell you, I'll share the story. I think I may have shared this again, but it's worth repeating. I was testifying in Key West because the Mosquito Control Board wanted to release these genetically engineered mosquitoes, and the concept is that Oxitec, the UK company that has manufactured these mosquitoes, claimed that they just were going to release the male mosquitoes that don't bite. They were going to mate with wild female mosquitoes and produce sterile offspring, all within the Aedes aegypti species, which carries dengue fever and Zika. So it turns out they were totally lying, that they release a lot of females, it turns out millions of them. They end up 3% to 18% survive in the wild. And so they are consistently lying. But I was testifying, and so was one of their scientists. So I asked the scientist afterward, they said, have you tested the saliva of the genetically modified mosquito to see if it might cause damage because the saliva enters the bloodstream when you get bit? And he said, well, we're just now doing a test to see if the gene that produces a protein, the gene that they add, produces a protein that ends up in the saliva. And I'm thinking to my mind, oh, my God, they've already released millions of genetically engineered mosquitoes in four countries, and just now they're checking the saliva. So I said, you know, in the process of genetic engineering, you cause massive collateral damage. And there was a study on a human cell, cystic fibrosis study, and they inserted a single gene, and up to 5% of the other genes change their levels of expression. That could be 1,000 different genes. So shouldn't you just be looking at the single protein of the gene that you inserted? Shouldn't you be looking at the entire compound structure to see if there's dangerous changes? His response was classic. He said, "Good idea." So this was the brain cell behind this genetically engineered mosquito. So they now want to release it in southern Florida. They want to release it in Texas. There is a comment period. Again, go to responsibletechnology.org, sign up for the newsletter. We'll let you know how you can comment. There's a comment period because the EPA is going to say, oh, yeah, no problem. They always give green lights to anything that's genetically engineered.
These things are going to look like hummingbirds, I bet. They're going to be the size of hummingbirds.
You know, it could be a disaster. The Cayman Islands has decided to run another test because the last test, although Oxitec claimed a very big success, when their own scientists looked at it, it was a complete failure. So a Freedom of Information Act request recently showed that Oxitec was lying or using sleight of hand about their facts, and so they decided to give them $600,000 to do another study. So in the meantime, they're exposing the population in the west, I think the west part of Cayman Islands, which I won't go to while they're doing the study. In fact, I may never go to the Caymans because it's possible that some of these genetically engineered mosquitoes may take hold and become part of the background of mosquitoes there for all generations to come.
Let's go to Louisiana. Marshall's been waiting, and he's on the air with us. Hey, Marsh, go ahead.
Hi, George and Jeffrey, thank you so much for this show. I teach in the university system here, and my fear is that we're going to genetically modify food to the point where it renders it inedible and we have extinction of our species. I wondered if you might remember about 10 or 12 years ago when we couldn't eat the tomatoes because of the E. coli. So I consulted with a colleague of mine in the pharmacy school, and he said, well, we've used E. coli as a mosaic for different things within pharmacy. And turns out, researching deeper, they wanted to get an extra a season out of the tomatoes, so they used a mosaic of E. coli to introduce a trout gene into the tomatoes so that it could be frost resistant to get a couple of more seasons, one on the beginning and one on the end of the tomato season. And I understand the need for more calories per acre, but greed is driving this. And then what are the genetic implications, the ethical implications for, say, a person who might be a vegetarian who doesn't know that they're now eating a trout gene in a tomato? What do you have to say about that?
Well, the fish tomato is a big example because it's such a radical combination. That particular variety was never commercialized. The tomato that was genetically engineered was called Flavor Saver back in 1994. It only lasted about 3 years, and it was designed to allow to show that it looked like it was ripe, even though it could have been days old. And I spoke to the developer, the person who was doing some of the scientific research, and I looked at some of the studies, and it turns out that a large number of the rats that were fed this tomato developed stomach lesions, and so many others also died. There was also a report that by the CEO of the company that you couldn't get the rats to actually eat the tomatoes. You had to force feed them. And that turns out to be an early example of what we have heard about all over North America and around the world, that oftentimes when animals are given a choice, they will not eat the GMO. There were one person told me he went to a farm, and the farmer said, watch this. And he called the pigs. They all ran up. He scooped some corn, spread it out. They all looked down, sniffed it, looked up like, what are you kidding? Then he went to another side of the feed bunk and threw that corn out, and they all ate that corn. Another farmer told me that his cows wouldn't eat the GMO corn, so he put the non-GMO corn underneath it, and they had to eat through the GMO corn in order to get to it. So when you said the food is inedible at a certain point, well, certain animals believe it's inedible now. There was a little example of a story where a lot of squirrels over the winter, they nailed a GMO corn cob to one tree and a non-GMO corn cob to the other, and they only ate the non-GMO. So another farmer decided to buy some corn cobs and do his own study, but he left it in a workshop, and the mice did the study for him. They broke into the bag and ate all of the non-GMO corn. They broke into the bag of the GMO corn, took one bite of the kernel, and didn't touch another one. I have one of these cobs. So it's very interesting that you talk about the food being inedible. Well, if we had the intuition and the innate intelligence of the animals, we might already be at that place.
Amazing. Jeffrey, let's take a few more calls here. Let's go to Archer in Hawaii on the island of Maui. Archer, get to us.
Aloha, gentlemen. Yes, I'll get to the point. I profoundly appreciate your work, Jeffrey. Look, I have a question. Let me please quickly put a couple things on the table. It's the pesticides, the herbicides, geoengineering, genetic engineering, social engineering, the heart program work around the planet, aerosolizing of the planet, the air, the atmosphere, G5G coming on. What is it possible without higher speed computing to research and or, oh my God, I hope not, control the synergistic effects among these things, which are contrary to nature and, it seems, natural law and detrimental to the human race. Is it possible? Is this under control? Is anyone studying how these things affect one another and synergize?
That's a great question. As you know, science is very reductionistic. The EPA only requires that Monsanto submit data just on its so-called active ingredient glyphosate and not the whole Roundup formulation, which independent scientists show is 125 times more toxic with certain formulations. So there is a tendency to reduce and narrow the focus. In my interviews for Healing at healingfromgmos.com, Dietrich Klinghardt, Lee Cowden, and others, they talk about the synergy of the problems with GMOs, Roundup, and EMFs, electromagnetic frequency radiation. So, you know, the Wi-Fi that's in the house, et cetera. And they talk about the microbiome as being sensitive to that and how they work together. I've also talked to experts in vaccines, and it turns out that glyphosate is in vaccines. And so it's injected right into the bloodstream of infants, et cetera. So I end up being introduced to all these different areas, even though I've tried to maintain a narrow focus so that I can have the best impact possible on just the GMO question. But now, since it's linked to so many things, it's forcing me to also take a broader view. But I don't think really anyone can characterize all the different things going on, but we do have canaries in the coal mine, which are the people who are chemically sensitive, and they are the people that react very immediately. So we have people, for example, that eat meat from animals that are fed GMOs, and they'll react, whereas if they eat a meat from an animal that's not fed GMOs, they won't react. And so they also are maybe sensitive to electromagnetics, et cetera, et cetera. So I go to these environmental medicine conferences and hear about that, and there's a lot of information about the assaults by the most sensitive. It doesn't mean that we're all going to have the same reaction. It just gives us an idea of the kind of synergy that you asked about.
Shirley's in Monticello, Iowa with us. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Yes. Say, George, I was really concerned about the way the previous caller just talked, and I wondered if my children were affected that way. We wondered after 14 years of marriage that my husband had the veterinarian inject into our meat, into our feeder calf,
mm-hmm.
we're raising to be butchered, the steroid to make him grow faster. So when he was born in the spring, by fall, he was ready to be butchered, and I couldn't believe it. But then my children were really heavy set. They were fat. They were thinner. And as soon as we ate that meat, my son found this out when he did a study on beef and on pigs. We used to raise pigs. But we had big freezer just full of beef and the other one full of pork. I found out that my children were big. It was from the steroids that my husband had injected into by the veterinarian into the beef cow.
Jeez, was it a bovine? Were they injecting with a bovine?
I'm not sure what was going on. But we found out that the children were heavy set. They were thinner before because I'm an organic person. We only put lime in our garden to add acid, a balance of acid to the soil. But I had no idea that this was happening to my children. And that's why my children were so fat.
Do you remember that chemical that they were injecting into milk cows and stuff like that, Jeffrey?
Yes, genetically engineered bovine growth hormone.
Yeah.
In fact, Sam Epstein, who was one of the main researchers, he recently passed away. He was the chairman of the Cancer Prevention Coalition. He told me at a conference that we spoke to about how they put sex hormones into beef cattle to cause them to grow faster and that was causing the premature puberty. Now, we also know that with the consumption of GMOs and Roundup, it's very likely contributing to the obesity epidemic. So when the kids are eating things like with Roundup, et cetera, it might cause some imbalance. I don't know if anyone knows exactly how it works. We do know that the microbiome can dictate whether you're fat or skinny, and that might be the angle. So there could be other aspects to it. But I do remember visiting an Iowa family where they butchered their own meat, and they looked inside the animal that had been fed GMOs and the animal that had been fed non-GMOs. and it was completely different. And the mother said to me that the inside of the animal that had been fed GMOs was so disgusting and smelled so horrible, she said she would never feed it to her kids.
Horrible. Jeffrey, thanks for being on the program. Keep in touch when your latest work is done. We'll get you back on in September. Up next, we're going to be talking about the power of mind.